Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast number 1962. The topic is Q&A, and the title is Managing Poor Recovery, Client Example. So I wanted to go through a client example where they're just not feeling great. And it has coincided with kind of the start of us getting to work together. Now, that part might not be the same for you if we're not working together, but you may start to feel that when you start training or at some point in your training, maybe you have a little bit of a joint pain, your energy's kind of low, you're just kind of feeling like crap a little bit. maybe progress has stalled out, things aren't just humming along nice and steady, and you're kind of wondering, what do I do? You know, like, should I change my training? Should I change my food all around? Should I change something about my approach? So I wanted to go through and share a client example of this and what we kind of talk through, what we work through when we find a situation like that. Okay, now in the client's journal, all my online clients, they have an online journal that's just theirs, so it's one-on-one. They write in it 24/7. I can answer it 24/7, answer at least once a week, try to get to it more than that. And they can always text me if they have anything that they need in a more urgent manner. But in their journal is where they'll write entries per day or per week, share their thoughts, share any questions, and I go through and give them feedback on those questions, on those reviews, do nutrition review, video reviews, all the good stuff. So in their journal, they recently wrote, when they got back from traveling, they said, my body feels horrible, tight and tired. I don't think my body is adapting to this training. I have basically taken 2 weeks off and it still isn't feeling good. I think I was just too naive to think that I could do this. I came back weighing 197 with weighing everything this week and sticking to new macros. Very frustrated. That's a bummer. That's a crappy, crappy, crappy place to be mentally. And definitely, you know, it's unfortunate and I want to figure that out for her and we can kind of work through this. Now, I do want to give you some like background information about some of that. So weighing 197, she had been previously before she went to travel. She traveled for, I think, just 4 or 5 days. But she had been weighing around 194, 195. So 2 or 3 pounds up after traveling is extremely common due to increased water retention due to change of movement, change of food selections, which can change your sodium intake and your carbohydrate intake. We also maybe don't move as much, so she had to spend a lot of time sitting in a car, a lot of time sitting on planes. So even though she may have gotten her step count in, she has a goal, a personal goal that she set of trying to step 10,000 steps a day. That still doesn't work the same. It doesn't create the same effect as like weighted workouts would do that we would typically be doing in our training, where you're doing, you know, lunges, squats, a lot of core work, a lot of things where you're spending and stretching and moving through the joints rather than just walking. Not that walking's bad, it just does not replace weight training and those type of movements in regards to keeping the body feeling open. A lot of people I work with who do a lot of walking or running can feel insanely tight around their joints, and that's because walking doesn't move you through a large range of motion. it can be very helpful for, you know, general blood flow, good for digestion, good for calorie usage for the day to help burn off extra calories, but it really doesn't do a great job of keeping your muscles loose. So that's a little bit of background about when she said came back weighing 197. Again, that's only 2-3 pounds higher than normal. That's not abnormal at all after traveling. And one thing I want to talk about is she said that she's worried that the training, her body's not adapting to the training. And she had taken basically 2 weeks off from the training but still isn't feeling good. Our body responds from workouts immediately and in like muscle damaging type training, our body can recover within 2 to 4 days from any tissue damage that we create. If you're doing not super heavily weighted stuff, it can recover faster. If you're doing really heavy strength-based training, it can take 5 to 7 days. But if it's been 2 weeks and they're still not feeling good, then the that kind of tells us that the training isn't the problem, because you haven't even been training and you don't feel good. So if the training was the problem, they would feel great after having taken 2 weeks off, or at least feel some degree of improvement. So that, again, kind of is a highlight for us that, oh, okay, something else must be going on. So I wanted to present this, and I'm going to share with you kind of what I told her, in the sense that hopefully some of these things will be highlighted for you and you'll go, oh yeah, geez, I didn't even think to check that. Let me check that and maybe it can help me. Now, as I said, this is unfortunately, it can be a common feeling for people, is you start a new routine, you feel a little beat up, you're not experiencing the progress that you expected. So what do we do about that? Well, again, a little more background for her. She wants to compete in a powerlifting meet. So when she was saying she was too naive to think that she could do this, what she means by this is trying to compete in a powerlifting meet having taken some time off. Now, that you can compete in powerlifting at really any age. I mean, there are people who compete in 50s, 60s, 70s, and even 80s. I've worked with people who've taken, you know, 5 to 10 years off in between meets, and they do fine. So the idea of coming to do a powerlifting meet is definitely not the problem. Maybe the speed in which the person is trying to approach can be a challenge. So we would want to consider, are we pushing too hard too soon? And that is something to consider. Now, the other thing we want to think about is she had been training already. So it wasn't like she took time off doing nothing, and now we're getting all the way back into all these common movements. She had already been squatting, already been benching, already been deadlifting, had been doing that in her training. But it might not have been as heavy of weight loads. Maybe it wasn't as structured with the volume. So it was benching once a month, or deadlifting once every other week, or squatting when she felt like it with a barbell. Maybe the other days were like goblet hold squats or other variations of lower body movements. So there was at least some background of movement, but we know that maybe it wasn't as specific as the movements are now. The other component is, when people are left to train on their own, they tend to do mostly of the stuff they like and not the stuff they don't like. And usually the stuff they don't like, to some degree, they need. So for example, when I write client programs, we often start with what we call movement prep. And it can be a circuit of exercises, and it usually is. But we start with some type of movement preparation. Meaning, if I'm going to come into the gym and I'm going to squat that day, how can I open up any muscular tightnesses in my hips? How can I improve shoulder external rotation so I can get under a barbell without, you know, kind of shoulder pain? Well, you just want to prepare the body to move for the day. When people are training on their own, they tend to skip this stuff. They don't usually do the little nitty-gritty, little joint care stuff. Now, that's not always common. Sometimes people, that's all they do is stretching and mobility work, and they don't train heavy enough, so I have to kind of coax them into doing that. So everybody favors something and then therefore does less of something else. And commonly, we're going to do less of the thing that we probably need to some degree. Now, what's good for us to know about this, and what you can kind of relate to, is if you're coming into a program, like say you're doing something now and you're like, oh, I kind of feel like crap, I'm not moving very well. Well, if you haven't been doing anything before you started the program, then it's much more likely that the program could potentially be beyond where you are right now. So maybe you need a ramp up. Maybe you need some kind of way to warm your way up to it. It might have just been too large of a volume, too high of an intensity right away. So if you're coming from nothing, then that is a red flag as to, hey, maybe I need to, if I'm coming from nothing, I'm feeling beat up and feel like crap, maybe I do need to modify my programming a bit, bring down the volume a little bit, bring down the intensity a little bit, and give my body a chance to kind of work into it over the course of a month or two. But for this client, they had already been very active, so that wasn't much of a concern. They had also been eating quote-unquote healthy, but it would have been, you know, a large variety of calories, you know, plus or minus 500, 600, 700 a day. So one day it might have been 1,500, the next day it might have been 2,500. So there would have been some variable calorie intake. Protein was likely insufficient, but slightly variable as well. Maybe a great day of 180 grams of protein, the next day only 100, and kind of anywhere in between. So we know that the calories of protein were somewhat accounted for, somewhat thought through, but there would have been a lot more variableness to those than what we want now and what we have now. The other thing is we know their timing was off. We know that they were under eating during the day. In the mornings, especially whenever that was when they were working out, they weren't eating enough calories, enough protein after the workout through the day, and then they were overeating at night. That's going to severely limit recovery, and that's going to accumulate over time to some small nuances, small issues that are maybe being carried over into this new approach. So although we fixed the timing, and she was saying that she felt a lot better with that in the last 2 or 3 weeks, although we fixed that, you know, we might have a couple months of damage that we're waiting yet to still fix and correct. The other thing to think of is she was only 4 weeks into the new program before we already had to like start to kind of make changes before we went into the traveling. So we got into it a little bit, but not enough to actually see the benefits of it. Now, as for the programming, one of the things that we'd want to consider is the program too much? The program for her is not too much. Now, how do I know that? This is literally what my degrees and all my education is in. I've worked with over 3,000 people. I've trained people in her exact position hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. So with all of that background knowledge, we would think, okay, in her ability to manage, if she's been working out, doing weight training, she can do a movement prep circuit where we do, you know, some leaning over Kozak squats, which are just a bodyweight way to kind of open up your adductors, do some standing wide stance good mornings with just bodyweight to help open up the hamstrings, adductors, work on creating a flat lower back, neutral core, neutral hip positioning while hinging at the hips. And then maybe we're doing some banded Cuban press. A couple rounds of that should not mess anybody up. So we know that that's not going to be a problem. Then we had a strength circuit, like a main circuit, where she had the main lift of the day, squat, bench, or deadlift, and then two accessories. So, for example, she might have squats, and then we have a dumbbell, single leg RDL, and then maybe a plank. And that would have been kind of the whole routine. And then she's done. So it was the movement prep, where we just kind of get the hips, joints, everything moving. Then we do the heavy lift with two accessory lifts. The heavy lift, none of them were maximal. We did eventually in week 4 get to some max efforts, but they were actually technical maxes, not physical maxes, meaning if we had some technique things cleaned up, she would have been fine, and actually they wouldn't have felt so hard. So the technique needs to be crisper for it to be an actual true physical max. So we weren't actually at physical tissue max. So we weren't maximizing the muscle tissue, the connective tissue. So we know that there's not going to be a lot of strain, maximal strain in those tissues. There's going to be some, absolutely. But we know the technique is more so the limiting factor. Now, with that situation, like that whole format, that's a very common format. That's not a ton of volume. That's actually, as I alluded to her in the notes, it's actually less than what somebody of her typical background, her size, her strength would be doing. But it was only the first month of us working together, and we were coming from what she said she was doing, but I'm definitely going to start somebody on the lower end of volume and intensity, see how their body responds, and then we would ramp it up from there. So now we have a good background of what was going on, and I think for a lot of people, they're going to be in that same area where you're quote-unquote eating healthy. Maybe you've recently started paying attention to it. Maybe you haven't at all yet. But you have some mindfulness of calories, protein, and timing. You've trained to some degree. And maybe now you just recently started the program. But things are going to crap. So what do? When we experience that? So, again, her entry was, my body feels horrible, tired, and tight. I just don't think my body is adapting to this training. I have basically taken 2 weeks off and it still isn't feeling good. I think I was just too naive to think I could do this. I came back weighing 197 with weighing everything this week and sticking to new macros, very frustrated. The other part was sticking to new macros, she guesstimated a lot of the food being like since she was traveling. So we don't exactly know if that was actually 100% accurate. So we want to consider that as well is, yes, we were tracking everything, but we don't know the degree of accuracy to it. Did we get more things right by tracking than if we wouldn't have? Absolutely. But did we get everything perfect? Probably not. So I wrote back to her. I wrote, hey, and then her name. Bummer to hear you're feeling tight and tired. After traveling, this is extremely common due to dehydration and lack of typical movement. So I'd give it a few days of being back into your normal routine before getting too concerned, as you should feel better after a couple days of regular hydration, regular foods, and regular weighted activity. Helping, because she had noted that she had walking helps, because she had noted that she had been doing walking 10K, like 10,000 steps every day. So I wrote, walking helps with caloric usage, but doesn't help prevent tight muscles. So getting back into body weight and stretching movements combined with moderately weighted movements should all help you feel better this upcoming week. Now, a question I asked her was, did we discuss recent blood work? Have you had your hormones, your testosterone, estrogen, etc., checked lately, as in the last 6 months? So this is something I commonly cover with clients when we first start. A lot of it is prompted by if they've experienced significant weight gain, like lower energy levels, they're just kind of feeling like crap. This is something we commonly look at because if their testosterone, estrogen, their thyroid, all that kind of inner workings of the body are not optimal, they can be doing everything quote unquote right that they can control, you know, calories, protein, training, trying to get good sleep, trying to stay hydrated. They can do all those things, but if the body's system isn't optimized, they're not going to get great results, or they're just not going to see the results that they expect at all. Like for a lot of people, men, if they have low testosterone, they're just going to feel like crap. Their joints are going to feel like crap no matter what they do. And women have their own issues when it comes to blood work. So I'm asking her and going to wait and see what her response is. But that's definitely something that we would consider and look into, especially when we see someone who seems to be doing everything right on paper, but we're not getting the right response. We know that the hormones and blood work of the body kind of would let us know why that response might not be happening. So I wrote, when someone is struggling with recovery, the areas we typically look at are hydration, calories, protein, timing, sleep, stress, and then training volume and intensity. As for training, the volume and intensity are lower than what I would assume someone of your body size, body type, training history, and current recovery habits could sustain. Since it's low, we want to look at the other elements on this list. And that's why, like, I went through and explained to you guys, the listeners, what the workouts are so that we have a good understanding of when I say it's low. It's really just three kind of bodyweight warm-up movements, and then it was a main movement like squat, then a single leg stiff leg deadlift for like 10 to 14 reps per leg, and then a plank, and we were just doing 3 to 4 working sets of those. So it's very low. It's a very low volume. And maybe her squat max right now is 185 pounds, and we were just doing 135 for like 4 singles or 4 doubles just to practice technique. So there is nothing in that that would be like overly exertive. It was actually a very beginner type level of volume and intensity. So that's not going to be a concern for us. But as I talked about, it would be a good thing to look at for yourself if you're coming from kind of nothing and then jumping all the way into a full program. You might have to kind of wean your way into it to be careful about that. So then I did a nutrition review of the past week. So her current calorie targets right now are 1,700 to 1,900 calories, 140 to 180 grams of protein, and then under 60 grams of sugar. Now, before this, we were actually eating up in the 2,000s of calories, and she had reported that her body weight had been around 190. But when we first started, I asked her to weigh herself, and she was at 194. And so for the first 4 weeks, hitting those calorie targets, she stayed around 194, 195. Now, that's not uncommon because the training volume was so low. The intensity was so low. It's not going to promote an enormous amount of fat loss. But it was neat to see, okay, we could eat within those ranges, become consistent within those ranges. And then, unfortunately, when we started working together, the timeline for the powerlifting meet was set in only, I think, like we have February, March, April, and then May. So like 12 to 14 weeks. So we don't really have any time to, we don't have much time to establish a baseline like metabolism. So we have to kind of hope that whatever she was doing before was pretty good, because right now we only had 4 weeks to kind of establish it, see what the body would really respond to, and then we have to start pushing her weight down because she signed up for a weight class under than where she is. So it's like, ah, crap. You know, we had 12, 14 weeks, short time frame to establish healthy habits, then try to all of a sudden get a bunch of stronger and get a bunch leaner. So very, 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 very short time frame there. But is it possible? Absolutely. You know, you can definitely make some progress towards increased strength, some progress towards fat loss. The first meet goes well, gets you excited, get that little bug, you know, get that, light that fire under you, and then we would have planned to do another meet. And at least that's my, you know, assumption is the first meet, you know, if you only have 14 weeks out of a random, there was no prep to it. It was just, hey, on a whim, I want to do powerlifting. I'm now going to set this goal for 14 weeks. That's short. That's very, very short time frame for establishing good training system and then also try to push strength while establishing good nutrition system and then trying to push for fat loss. So we're doing it, but I wanted to give you that background of why her calories are now at 1,700 and 1,900. That 200-calorie range is very challenging for a lot of people. So I typically would give a range much larger than that. However, she had a history of tracking numbers. We had a larger range before. She wasn't happy with seeing what was happening in the first 4 weeks. So I was like, well, if she has the capacity to try to be more narrow-scoped on calories, why not give that to her, see if that'll help push things a little bit if she feels like she can do that. So we pushed the scope of the calories down to range to only 200. 140 to 180 grams of protein is actually low compared to her body weight. I would like to be more, but that was already a stretch above what she had been doing consistently. So again, you know, whatever we're coming from has to be accounted for. If she was eating on the regular, say 100 to 140 grams of protein, then all of a sudden I'm like, I want you to be hitting 200 grams a day. It's very unlikely the person's going to be able to do that right away. They're going to feel like a failure. They're going to shut down. We only have 14 weeks. Can't afford to have the person feeling like crap and discouraged for 8 of the weeks while they're trying to reset a habit while also trying to stay consistent with training and other things. So the goal of 140 to 180 is actually a push goal. It's going to push her from where she was, but it's actually not where we need to end up being. Eventually, we want to increase that number, and I would love to increase the calories even more as we would be increasing the training volume and intensity. However, it doesn't look like we're going to be able to do that right away. So a little bit of limitations here. Now, in her reviews, she actually did a great job. She hit her protein 6 out of 6 on the last 6 days, sugar 6 out of 6, and calories, we were actually under. So her goal was 1,700 to 1,900 calories, but in the last 6 days, I'm making some extra markings here, is she was actually under her calorie range. So the goal was 1,700 to 1,900, and we actually missed 4 of the last 6 days. So we were 80 calories under on one day, 150 calories under on another day, 50 calories under on another day, 120 calories under on another day. So when somebody comes back and says they feel tired, well, you're under eating your energy. you know, we're not putting enough gasoline in the gas tank. So it makes sense then that we're going to feel under our best if we've been eating under our best, if that makes sense. So that's something to be mindful of, is that if we've been missing the calorie marks and we don't feel as good as we usually do, well, that could be a huge contributing factor. Is, you know, if I'm supposed to be eating a minimum of 1,700 calories and I didn't, then that's not going to help us. So we're going to feel less than our best if we've been eating less than what we should. So overall, I wrote that she had been doing a good job. The degree in which we were low wasn't insanely low. And her protein was great and the sugars were great. So overall, she's doing well. I would just encourage her to try to get up to that calorie range. because we are actually under the range. We want to eat the maximum amount of what we're allowed. So that's going to be something we look at. So when we look at that list again, hydration, calories, protein, timing, sleep, stress, training volume, training intensity, we know the training volume and intensity is okay. That's not an issue. We know our protein is okay. That's not an issue. Calories, we got to make sure that we're up within the range that we look for. Hydration, I said, we don't really track that, so I want you to be aware of that and track that this upcoming week. We want to be consuming a minimum of 0.5 ounces per pound of body weight. So if she weighs around 200 pounds, we're looking for around 100 ounces. Then for timing, she actually does very well with the timing of her foods. Since she made that change to eating more at the beginning of the day, 2-3 weeks ago, she said that she had felt a lot better and that was really helping her daily energy and kind of feeling better workouts. So great, we're just going to aim to keep that going. Sleep, we know that she has sleep issues at times. She has said that she has trouble sleeping. So we've talked about that, and I would really encourage her to try to get at least 7 hours of sleep this next week coming up, so we can make sure that that's accounted for and our body's helped with the ability to recover and repair things it needs to do so. Then stress, that's usually what it is what it is. I said, but what can help us reduce stress is if we're coming into this week feeling like crap and like super bummed, but let's think of it as if I can get my calories in check, if I can focus on my hydration, I can focus on my sleep, and if we know, okay, with the upcoming week, we get back into weight training, we get back into feeling good, get back into weighted movements, we know that we're doing a lot of things that should progress us forward, so that can help reduce some of the stress, reduce some of the frustration, saying, I'm going to crush these goals this week, and then we'll see how I feel. So I'm going to kind of put my frustrations and disappointments on pause. I'm going to be proactive this week, work on things that I know should help, and then I'll check and see how I feel. So that's what I wrote for her for this upcoming week, is to focus on hydration, sleep, and then keep everything else as usual. Now that was including trying to get those calories up. So this is some normal stuff that you have to work through sometimes with clients. And if you're experiencing this where you've started into a program, you're trying your best, things just don't seem to be going well, hopefully there's some takeaways here for you. So one of the takeaways is that if you're just coming back from traveling, it's completely normal to feel tired and tight and have a higher body weight due to water retention. And again, that's due to a change of food can change sodium intake, can change carbohydrate intake. It also changes your general movement, which also can change your digestion. So maybe you're not going to the bathroom as frequently as you normally would. And that can cause like bloating and backup and issues. So if you're traveling, just try to go back to normal for a week before you freak out and get overly concerned. Just get back into a normal routine. If you haven't been doing normal, it would make sense you don't feel normal. So get back to normal stuff, and then hopefully you'll start to feel normal. The other thing would be, the last takeaway, is to make sure you check all of these factors. Consider hydration, calories, protein, timing, sleep, stress, and your training intensity and volume. You don't often want to just jump right away to, I have to change everything in my training. If I feel like crap, my workouts are crap, my programming is crap, I need to change everything. It's unlikely. It's unlikely given that list of all the things that could possibly influence what's going on, that everything else is absolutely perfect, right? It's unlikely that our hydration is perfect, calories are perfect, protein is perfect, timing is perfect, sleep is perfect, and our stress is perfect. If all of those are perfect, then hell yes, change your training. But if those aren't perfect, I would dive into them, try to get a little bit crisper with those numbers, try to take care of those elements. And then in the meantime, if you need to bring down the training intensity or training volume, you know, drop one working set off every exercise, something like that. So that way you give yourself a little bit of a window while you're fixing those other elements. But this is stuff that we would typically go through with clients, is kind of talking about things, seeing how they're feeling, checking in on the numbers, checking in on the videos, and then just kind of problem solving as we go through. So I thought that would be fun to share. Hopefully it prompts some ideas and gives you some things to think of. If you have any questions, if you need anything, you can always go to our website, We have free nutrition information, free training information, including programs you can copy and try to use for yourself for different categories of goals. And then also, you can also shoot me a message on the website. If you go to the bottom of the homepage, there's a contact form. Send me any questions you want, and I'll help answer them. Awesome. Well, if you like the podcast, please share the podcast. If you like the podcast, please consider donating to support the podcast, which you can do on our website. Also, if you like the information we share in the podcast, you can find more from us on our social media channels. You can find us and follow us on Instagram and YouTube under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.